Acts chapter 2, Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. We shall be taking our consideration from verse 16 to verse 21. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, our consideration will be from verse 16 to verse 21. Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, chapter 2, verse 16 to 21. Hallelujah. Please, if you found it, can you just say amen with me? All right, please, I'll read verse 16. You're coming in 17 until we get down to 21. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out on those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19 now. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor or smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord, or that notable day of the Lord come. Verse 21, everybody. Shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen to Jesus. Father, we pray that you bless the word this morning in Jesus' name. I've always said, and I want to repeat when I began this teaching, that it is very, very dangerous to start or begin anything without the participation of the Holy Spirit. It is dangerous to begin anything or even continue anything without the participation of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit checks out at any point, stop. Whatever you're involved with and you feel at any time that there's a lifting of the Spirit of God, stop at such a point. The Bible says he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. And he went out as it was the former pattern, and the Bible says he met with defeat. Talking about Samson. And that's why this morning I want to speak to you on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. If you were not here when I began the part one of this teaching, I encourage you to get the CD today. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. There was a time on earth where, about 2,000 years ago, when the most important person on earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. He still remains the most important person today. But in terms of the life of the believer, the person that is very crucial to your sustenance is the Holy Spirit. Very important. Jesus, of course, you can contest. But the Holy Spirit you must get to become acquainted with. If you ever will make any meaningful impact with your life here on earth, if your life will make any meaningful impact, if it will make any sense, you cannot but understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, particularly as it has to do with you. You need to know why the Holy Spirit was left here. You need to know why Jesus had to step out for the Holy Spirit to come in. You need to know why he told the disciples, another paracletos, another comforter will come. You need to know why he had to assign the Holy Spirit to us. It is crucial for you to realize that if you will ever make any significant impact on earth, you cannot without the help of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the lives of people like Jesus, you come to realize that he did not begin his ministry without the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Elisha did not begin anything without the mantle of Elijah, which is a type of a Spirit of God, coming upon him. David will not begin his journey into greatness, into kingship, without the oil of Samuel coming upon his head, vis-a-vis the Holy Spirit coming thereafter. Because the Bible says that as soon as he was anointed with oil, the Spirit of God came mightily upon him from that moment forward. So it goes on to tell you that the Holy Spirit is very crucial. Whatever you want to begin, before David began, the Holy Spirit was central. Before Jesus began, the Holy Spirit was crucial. If you look at the disciples of Jesus, he said to them, hey guys, you're not going to go anywhere. Stay back in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Don't begin anything. Don't start the ministry. You've gotten the theology. You've learned from me. But that's not enough for you to step out and begin anything. You need the Spirit of God. And so the Bible says they all gathered together in the upper room and waited for days until the Holy Spirit came mightily upon them. It is very important that before this year goes too deep, you get the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't just listen to the songs of the choir. Let it be an experience in your life. In the end of this year, those who will sit down to count their blessings and name it one after the other will be those who have a massive influence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Come on, you better celebrate that if you understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. And that is why for someone like me, one of the things that is most interesting to me now is my relationship with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus, with all of his heavenly qualities, as close as Jesus was to the Father, if Jesus will not start his ministry without the Holy Spirit coming upon him in form of a mighty dove, if Jesus will not, why should you? The Bible says, if it was so with the green tree, so shall it be with the dry one. If the disciples did not begin their ministry without the Holy Spirit, why should you start your life without the influence of the Holy Spirit upon your life? Very crucial. If you will go farther than you've gone before, then you need someone that has gone before you, someone that is mightier than you, that knows better than you do, someone that is more knowledgeable than you do. You need the Holy Spirit upon your life. Please let me talk to somebody. Say you need him. Or say like you really mean it. Say you need him. Paul the Apostle, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. But you know the story. Although he sought with Jesus, he will not begin his ministry until the Bible says, Aeneas came, laid hands upon him. He said, the Lord has appeared unto me that I may come lay hands upon you, that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was after Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit that Paul began his journey. That Paul began his spiritual sojourn, that began his ministry. The same thing with you. You cannot begin effectively with all that you know in business, with all that you know concerning the principles that govern financial success. You need the Holy Spirit if you're ever going to make a significant impact. Hallelujah. Please let me touch one more person and say to the person, you need the Holy Spirit. There is more to life than strength. There is more to life than skills. There is something called the place of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it says, then he answered and spake, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. In Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it says, this he answered and said to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by power, not by the power of oratory, not by the power of beauty, not by the power of your CV, not by the power of your connections, not by the power of the people that you know, the affluence, the influence, and all of that. No, he said, not by power, not by might, not by strength, not by your own ability, your human prowess. No, not by capacity, not by your intellectual capacity. No, he said, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It will not be by strength. It will not be by skills alone. You need the influence of the Spirit. I have laid some foundations here. Praise the name of the Lord. I've said so clearly in this church, number one, that if you have strength and you have skills and you don't have the Spirit, you won't go further. And if you ever go, you will not go so far. Is that okay? You can go to some extent, you can go far to some extent with strength and with skills, but it has its limits. And the same thing, if you have the Spirit and you don't have strength and you don't have skills, it also puts a limit on your life. Okay, so if you have strength, you have skills, and then you don't have the Spirit, you don't go too far. And then if you have the Spirit and you don't have skills and you have strength, then you're also not going to go too far. Now, I give a practical example. You remember the case of a man called Samson? The man had the Spirit. The man had strength. But there was something he didn't have. Skills. He didn't understand relational skills.
He didn't understand the place of mentorship. He didn't understand the place of relating with women and how dangerous that could be somehow to his own ministry. The absence of skills became the major problem of that man's life. So you need three things if you would succeed in the year 2010 and in the years to come. One, you need strength. Take good care of yourself. Number two, you need what, sir? Skills. Improve your skills. Have people skills. Have money skills. Have managerial skills. Have leadership skills. Have all the basic skills that you need in the area of your expertise. Make sure you get the basic skills. But beyond that, you need the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Five things you must know about the Holy Spirit very quickly. Number one, the Holy Spirit is eternal. I emphasize a lot on that in the first part of this teaching. I said the Holy Spirit is eternal, meaning that the Holy Spirit is ageless. The Holy Spirit always know, he's always been. He is an ageless one. As God is ageless, so the Holy Spirit is ageless. The Holy Spirit does not have a birth date, neither will he have a death day. Hallelujah. He's always been there, and he will always be there. And one of the things I brought out to you from the teaching on, you know, the agelessness of the Holy Spirit is the fact that the Holy Spirit sits and stands over the ages of man's time. The whole of man's time, the Holy Spirit sees into the past, he sees into the present, and sees into the future. He will never get to know anything because he's always all-knowing. And so the Holy Spirit, by his eternal nature, can look into man's time, look into the age to come, look into the year to come, and see problems that will exist and whisper that to you so you can package the solution for that time. Very important. So the Holy Spirit is ageless. Number two, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. What that simply means is that the Holy Spirit is all powerful. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered and said to the woman, he said to her, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. So he called the Holy Spirit the power of the highest. Is that okay? So the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Number three, the Holy Spirit is omniscient. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He's all knowing. In John chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. How can he teach me all things if he doesn't know all things? Hallelujah. And it will bring into your remembrance all things. You know one thing, I just after the first service, I just went on the internet just to make one or two findings. And you know one of the things you find on your Yahoo page that stands out today is the story of 10 multi-millionaires who dropped out of school. 10 multi-millionaires who are school dropouts. And I said to myself, if 10 of those guys, including Jay-Z, if 10 of those guys, including Simon Cowell, the person behind, what do you call that now? Idols. I said, if you have these guys rising up to millionaire status on the strength of, on the principle of strength and skills, I said, what do you think a child of God can become with strength, skills, and the Holy Spirit? You didn't get what I just said now. This man dropped out of the school, which our world says a criteria to becoming rich. They dropped out of school. I don't encourage I go to school. But I'm saying they dropped out of school. And these guys have reason to become some of the richest people in their industries. If they were strength and skills in their industry without the Spirit, could rise up to become what they become. The question is, what can happen to a child of God who've got strength, skills, and the Spirit? In actual fact, you are living a limitless life, but you know it not. You're living a limitless life, but you know it not. I pray to God that as a result of this teaching, someone will begin to break forth beyond the present bounds that you have around you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. In verse 10, he said, but God has revealed them to us. Watch this now. It said, God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, business, medicine, what? Whatever field. The Spirit searcheth all things and comes to reveal them to his own children. Am I talking to somebody here? The Holy Spirit searcheth all fields and then comes to download them to you. You have limitless possibilities around you. I pray you'll begin to take advantage of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Number four, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, is everywhere present. In Psalm 139 verse 7 to 10, he said, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the outermost part of the sea, he said, even there shall your hands lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Where can you go from the Spirit of the Lord is the question. What the Bible is trying to tell us is that the Holy Spirit is everywhere present at all times. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit is everywhere present. Let me quickly move on. I'll leave one and quickly move to something else I want to share with you right now. And the first thing I want to quickly do is to share with you the ministry of the Holy Spirit very quickly. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have gotten the book that we recommend for everyone to read this month on how to be led by the Holy Spirit by Kenneth Hagin? I'm sure everybody has gotten it. How many of you have it right now? Raise your hands up. Raise your hands up. Raise your hands. Praise God. That's good. And those of you that don't have it, you have this month to finish that book. I hope I will not come to church one Sunday and say, praise God, today there's no sermon. Bring out your Kenneth Hagin's book and we shall discuss it. Amen. It will help you if you read that book. To help you. I read that book 20 years ago. To help you if you read it today. It has helped a lot of pastors. And I think it will help you. I saw one of my young ladies yesterday. She carried Bible study course on the Holy Spirit. I actually got one for another lady. And I was telling her to go through it and fill those activity spaces. And I saw another one filling it while the program was going on there. I felt so proud of that one. I hope I'll meet with the workers and they will tell me how far they've gone with Bible study course on the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's get down to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. Number one, one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit to you is that number one, the Holy Spirit leads and guides you into the will of God for your life. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you into the will of God for your life. For every one of us, there is a place called there that God has prepared for you. A place where the heavens over you opens. A place where life is simplified. A place in your work with God where provisions find their way to you. A place in your work with God where life becomes exciting. Now the Bible says that concerning Elijah, the Lord said to him, he said, go to Zarephath, except for I prepared a widow to take care of you there. When he was going to go to Cherith, God said to him, go to Cherith, for I commanded a raven to feed you there. There is a place called there for you. A place in the total will of God that belongs to you, your portion in the whole plan of God. There is an assignment that is specifically designed for you. Life will be frustrating. Life will be full of struggle if you function outside of your assignment. In fact, the reason why nothing seems to be working is because you have not fallen into the will of God for your life. Does that mean that if you are in the will of God, there will not be challenges? Oh, there will be challenges. But like Paul the apostle, you'll be able to open your mouth and say, no, none of these things move me. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? So the point is, there is a place that God has
reserved for you.
But the Bible makes us understand that the Holy Spirit will lead you into that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one that will lead you into the will of God. And you see, when you find yourself in the will of God, you begin to provoke the blessings of God. You begin to provoke the resources from God. How many of us want to see our lives more simplified? Praise God. So let's get started very quickly. Number one, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. He leads and guides you into the will of God for your life. Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. I'd like you to take a look at that very quickly. I don't want to assume that you know it. Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. Romans chapter 8 in verse 14. Okay. It said, for as many as are what? As are what? Pushed by the Spirit of God. Is that what he said? Did he say as many as are pushed? Driven? No. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. So it is important for you to know that the Spirit of God does what? Leads you. He doesn't push you. Is that okay? The Spirit of God doesn't push you. He leads you. Is that okay? And it leads you into nothing but the will of God. The Holy Spirit can lead you outside the will of God. So if the Holy Spirit ever leads you, he leads you right into the will of God. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's important for you to know this. You and I, our greatest struggles, our greatest defeats always comes outside of the will of God for our life. Every time we step out of the will of God for our life, all manner of things happen to us. Every time we step out of the will of God for our lives, all manner of things happen to us. They carry Jesus. You know, the people came around and they carry Jesus and they want to make him king. And you know what Jesus said? The Bible says he quickly evaded that. You know why? Because that is not consistent with the will of God. He will be king, but not now. So Jesus Christ evaded what men are trying to make him now, because he knew that the will of God for him forbidded him sitting on the throne now. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You see, it's important that you know the will of God for your life concerning every area of your life. It's important that you walk in the will of God for your life. John chapter 16 verse 13. Let's take a look at that. I want to establish something here. However, when the Spirit of God or the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, who discussing? Whatever he hears, God is discussing concerning you. He will speak that to you, and he will tell you of things to what, sir? Of things to come. He will tell you of things to come concerning your life, what the will of the Father is concerning your life. The Holy Spirit is willing to speak to you. Now let me quickly make three statements here. Number one, the Holy Spirit is willing to lead you. Number two, the Holy Spirit is willing to guide you. Number three, the Holy Spirit is willing to speak to you. The question is, are you willing to be led? Number two, are you willing to be guided? Number three, are you willing to listen? And you know, the inability to do these three things are the reasons why we have led ourselves into too many trouble. We have relied on our wisdom. I have done that in the past. I've relied on what I thought was good, a greener pasture. And you know, if there's anything that is the greatest undoing of man most of the time, is the fact that we over rely on logical reasoning. Hallelujah. The Bible says that for as many as are led by the Spirit, I like one translation, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these ones are the sons of God. So everybody can claim to be a son of God, but the proof that you are a son of God is that what, sir? You are led by, and you know, I like the old translation. It said, for as many who are consistently being led. So it's not, It's not that I was just led yesterday and today I'm leading myself. No, consistently being led. Jesus says, I hear my Father speak, so I speak. What I see my Father do, that I do. A man of God looked at me one time and said, I think I saw that in his book too. He said, the reason why you fail is because you are doing what God has not done. I like Jesus. Jesus will peep into heaven. And Jesus will see that the Father has healed the crippled man. The man by the pool of Bethsaida. When Jesus sees the Father make the man by the pool of Bethsaida whole, he will see the Father making the man whole. Then Jesus will now go and say, my friend, rise up. And people will like, and the man just jump up. He said, my Father has done it before I did it. That's why it was simple. An elderly man was praying for me. An elderly man about 60 years old. He has been in ministry for about 40 or so. He should be about 70 now. It's no more in active ministry. He says, kneel down. And he started praying for me in Yoruba. And then very deep Yoruba words. I'm not too good at the Yoruba language, you know. But then he prayed very deeply. But one thing I can't forget. He says, Samu. That's like, say, Samu, I pray for you. That may God begin to bring your way problems that he has already solved. You get that, sir? May God begin to bring your way businesses that he has finished. So that with minimum effort, what is wealth? Wealth is putting minimum effort into something and getting maximum result. What is poverty? Putting so much effort into something and getting small results. Or no result. I pray for you today also. Thou may God lead you into what God has finished. Yeah. Whatever it is, may God lead you into what God has already finished. Not something you will start on your own, build on your own. Something that Baba God has set through from the foundation of the earth. You know, that's why some people look as if they are geniuses. I wait, see, now lay him. He just touches and it happened. Touch that. No, they are touching what the Father has touched. They are applying to where the Father has already employed them. They are going to organizations that the Father has already put his hand on. Life can be simple or simplified if we can just say, Holy Spirit, please, I put my hands in your hands. Lead me. I don't want to lead myself and ask you to follow me. What most of us are doing today is that, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for this business that I have started. And Lord, now that I have started it, I want you to join me. I want you to make it success. No, let it be that he started it and handed it over to you. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Okay, so it's important for us to realize that one of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us is that the Holy Spirit does what? He leads us and does what? And guys, so can we have it together? He does what? He leads us and then he does what? He guides us. Not only that, he speaks to us. Is that okay? He is speaking. The point is you are not hearing. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there's a drama that I like in the Bible. And it's the drama between Eli and Anna. You imagine the father, Anna came to Shiloh and she kept on praying. Oh, Lord, you know if it's like the kind of prayer of today. She kept on praying, oh, Lord, my problem. And you know, Eli said, hey, come, you're drunk. And all of that. Of course, she answered him and all of that. But my concern is that he spoke to her and said, the Lord grant thee your petition. You know, oftentimes I've even come to realize that the reason why a lot of us don't hear from God is because we are busy praying to God. And let me redefine prayer to you. Real prayer is not you talking to God. It is you talking small to God and God talking much back to you. If all you do is pray. Oh, Father God. Father, Lord, you know yesterday. Father, tomorrow. No, Lord, this week. Father, the problem. People, oh, Martin. Lord, we'll let them move. Have you met Christian praying before? Lord, the trouble. Lord, the confusion. Lord, the blah, blah, blah. You know, we just keep on talking and talking. And you see, real prayer is dialogue, not monologue. It's communication. It's you speaking with your Father. And you see, he knows much more than what you even try to tell him about yourself. So when you appear before God, talk less, listen more. Let your words be few before God. In fact, if there's anything that should be much in the presence of God, it should be your worship, your praise. But when it comes to petition, just make them very simple based on his word. And listen. Most of the times when you speak to God about a problem, what God answers you with is a strategy. Did you hear what I just said right now? Most of the times when we cry to God about a problem, what God does is that he answers us back with a strategy. But the point is, we are not in a listening mode to get the strategy to solve the problem. And so we're always going back to God and talking to him about the problem. The Holy Spirit wants to convey heavenly strategies into your hands. There is a way out of your present predicament, but it can only be located by listening to the Holy Spirit. He is willing to lead you, guide you, and speak to you. But how willing are you to listen? The most difficult thing to do today is to listen. We can't listen to our spouses. The man has 1,001 things to tell her instead of listening to her. The woman too has 1,001 things to tell him based on the way she feels instead of listening to the way he thinks. Everybody has something to say. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody has something to say. Your life will never be the same. Beginning of new days for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. How does the Holy Spirit guide us today? I will just touch on them very briefly. Number one, the Holy Spirit leads us today through prophecy. Prophecy. He guides us via prophecy. And please, when I'm talking about prophecy, I'm saying that there are two kinds of prophecies here. There is the written prophecy in God's word. And there is what we call the inspired prophetic speakings. Now, the written prophecy is like, for instance, let me tell you how I received my calling. The first thing that happened to me in the year 1989, when I gave my life to Christ, was that the word of the Lord came to me. I was just reading the Bible barely 2-3 months before I even ever had any vision. The first thing that happened to me was that, sir, I was just reading the Bible and I came over to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I stumbled on that verse where the Bible says, say no more, I'm a little child, how shall I speak? And the word of the Lord came to me, that is, I've ordained you to be a prophet unto what, sir? The nations. And I didn't even know anything about Rhema and Logos. But the moment I got there, I ended there. And I had the clear-cut voice, this is your life's assignment. That was it. This is your life's assignment. But it will take you years before you step into the office of the prophet. So you will have to go through training before you step into the office of the prophet. And I want to say that it's taken me almost 20 years before coming into the office of a prophet to the nations. So I'm not confused about my prophetic calling. I'm not a prophet, so to say, to individuals. I'm not a prophet to churches. I'm a prophet to nations. I'm called to speak to the nations on behalf of God. And that is why the training has to take a longer time. Because you can misrepresent God before the nations. You can't go to nations to speak to the nations as his prophet, not understanding national dynamics. So your study must be broad. Your experience must be vast. He has of necessity take you through so much because of what he has in view. You can't misrepresent him. If your prophetic ministry is to individuals, he will train you. Your training will be in that direction. If your prophetic ministry is to churches, then he will also train you in that direction. But the calling came via studying the word of God. It was after that that I was in a stadium, and Reverend Fred Addo, who is in Kaduna now, then came out with his album, It Is Raining All Around Me. I don't know. Okay, some of you listen to now. You remember? The latter rain, right on Jesus. Okay. We still have some old school believers here. The other ones don't know. Got a revolution. Yeah. Yeah. You got a revolution. Yeah. Those are the songs that really birthed some of us. Praise God. All right. So I was in that stadium. Reverend Fred Addo came to preach in Bauchi. And about 9 o'clock in the night, please, Pastor, come sit down. Sit down. Just carry a seat here and sit down. I was in that stadium and I was just seated watching now. It's like, it's a theater. The open air theater in Bauchi. And this is what happened to me. I was in the midst of other persons who came together to the service. And I felt this hand. This hand touched me. The hand just touched me at the shoulder. And I heard the voice clearly, get up and go home. I want to speak with you. Now, I was barely 3 months old in the Lord. Thank you. I was barely 3 months old in the Lord. So I didn't even understand what this year about God speaking. I just knew that this voice says, stand up, go home. I want to talk with you. And I got home at about 10 o'clock in the night. And as I got him, he said, take your Bible and paper and begin to write concerning the things that I have for you. And the Lord, this is 1989. So, you know, sometimes I see some people, they just come around, they see what you're doing today, and they want to copy what you're doing today, just like some of us want to copy those we see doing great things today, and think that the great things you are doing today began today. Every smooth stone you are seeing has traveled a long way. Every smooth stone has, it wasn't as smooth as it is now when it began its journey. It had a lot of rough edges, but by traveling, it hit some place and that side was cut off. That hard part, that sharp way you normally talk to people. That's the way I am. And that's, you must take me. No! If God is going to use you, He is going to save you the way you are, but He can use you the way you were. You have, come on, Lord, have mercy. Going to knock off some things out of your life. No! Just as I am without one plea, you can be saved. But to be used of God, He will process you. You will be crying like this and God will say, that's part of the process. Eh? See, that's what it takes, my son, to be used. That's what it takes. Do you know why they call it kabod? The glory of God. Glory means kabod, weight. It means that you've come through a lot to carry it. God doesn't put His glory. So you just see some people and you're like, well, praise God. I like what God is doing. I know that, you know, the funny thing is that when you see people that God has put His glory on, the next thing you see some people do, they go and wear a suit. They will carry a suit. Will barb His hairstyle. You can barb His hairstyle, you won't carry His glory. He's gone through a process. You've gone through it. He's gone. And some of you right now, you are going through the process leading to your glorification. For those He foreknew, He are the ones He preordained. He predestined. And those He predestined are the ones that He called. And those that He called, He justified. And those He justified, He glorified. See, it's a long path to glorification. Some are just answering the call and they want to be glorified. Your road is still long, friend. Still got to go to school. School of hard knocks. Ah, Lord have mercy. University of Tears. Thank you, sir. When God will tell you, don't ask anybody for anything, and yet you are broke. If you open your mouth and ask anybody for anything, I will show you. And there's no food in your house. And don't tell anybody about it. I want to teach you to depend on me. And this is at 3 o'clock. I hope God will change your mind. Second day, God, I'm not eating. No, God, this is getting too. I'm not fasting. God, I'm not eating. Fourth day, and this is God taking you through a school. He says, not that I didn't know the short way, but because you're about to possess nations, I must prepare you, because wars will come because of the blessing I'm about to give you, so that when the wars begin to come, you don't give up. Somebody's at the point right now. But why is God treating me like this? The weight of glory will be much. Ah, look at you crying us and disturbing us with your tears today. When the blessing starts now, people, all of us will be envious of you. And so I was in that stadium and the hand came and touched me. And He said, go home. I want to talk to you. And I got home and He began to talk to me. He said, write down the things that I have concerning you, concerning your ministry. See, it's good to be born again. There's nobody that can expose you like the Holy Ghost. It was from the Holy Ghost I had the name of the country, the name of the part of the world called Hawaii. From the Holy Ghost. That's why I normally mention to you. The Caribbean islands. It was from the Holy Ghost. It was after I spoke, I now went and carried map. I started looking for it on map. You see, your ministry will go to this place, your ministry will go to that place. The capital, the headquarters of your ministry will be in the federal capital territory of Nigeria. 1989 was when he spoke to me. Abuja has not yet become formidable then. And I went to Lagos, I was enjoying myself. I was having miracle nights. Oh, then we have attended. No, I was having miracle nights. And people would come. Man of God, partners were there. I was enjoying money at a very young age. I don't see money small. And the day God was going to deal with me, say, get out of this town. Don't tell anybody. Carry your bag. Go to where I... This is... I was planning to go and get the headquarters of the church. Our land. I said, since Baba Adeboye, them, they've gone to Lagos Ibadan Expressway. I said, the new generation will go to Badagry Expressway. And then I had this family who came from the UK who worshiped with us. And I said, okay, look, maybe why we don't... Let's go and get... That was when God called me. I went to preach in Benzila's church. Bro, Benzila, who is here with us today, who is in charge of our sound. I went to preach in his pastor's church, Pastor Agoso. And as I was... Powerful night, he is here. As I was coming back, the Lord said, this will be your last night of preaching anywhere. See, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, most of the troubles in my life were because I didn't listen to him. I know your own life has been good. You have not seen through anything at all. Because you've been listening to him all the time. I pray you continue listening to him. Hallelujah. We have failed. We have succeeded. We have failed. We have succeeded. But we have learned much more now. To learn to succeed by listening to him. The Holy Spirit, this will be your last night of preaching anywhere. Go to the closet. And I entered the closet. I thought it was going to be one day fasting. And it turned out to be 21 day fasting. At the end of the 21-day fast, it was an explosion of the glory of God like I've never seen in my life. And then the Lord gave me a 10-year plan, including the fact that you shall relocate to Abuja and that by 2010, it shall be your year of strategic takeover. Did I mean, those who are there at the beginning of the church, now I've been saying that from the word go. What he said, I don't understand. What it means, I don't even know till now. But we can begin to see some glimmer now. Some things are becoming clear. Am I talking to somebody here? When I had to relocate, it didn't make sense. If you will obey God, it will not make sense. Your greatest hindrance to hearing the Holy Spirit are people. People, what will they say? What will they think? What will they feel? The first person in question is, God, how will he feel? You've not gone far because you are not listening to him. We can go far more than where we are today if we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through prophecy. Number two, he speaks to us through his word, like I shared with you. He speaks to us through his word. Speaks to us through his word. Sometimes just, please, that's why you have to read the Bible every morning. I'm not talking about just reading Psalm 2. Psalm 91, the Lord is my shepherd. Carry Bible, put under your pillow. Bible does not protect you from devils. Devil carry your Bible and flog you. Hallelujah. It is not the word in the word that is power. It is the word in your mouth. The word of faith which we speak. That's where the power lies. How do you get to find out the will of God? By opening the pages of the Bible. Let me say this. I've come to learn over the past few years that two ways God normally deals with me. I pray in tongues, and as I pray in tongues, I pray in tongues with my Bible. As I begin to pray in tongues, if I have a confusion, what decision do I take, what this and all of that, I just begin to pray in tongues, and I mention that issue. Father, concerning leadership, what do I do? Hey, la, 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 bo, shatari, and de, sekere, bo. I just keep praying. I keep studying the page of scripture. I can study 10 chapters on my knees there. Because when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, my mind can still read. Oh, yes. So I'm praying in tongues. I'm studying my Bible. And somewhere between the first or the 10th chapter of the Bible, boom, instruction will come. Most of the major movements of the great men of God that you have all over the world today, most of them are built big organizations based on the word. God gave them a word. Bill Winston, God gave him a word. And that's how they built their school. That's how they built their microfinance house. God gave him a word. He was just meditating on one scripture for hours. Then the word of the Lord came as a principle with which he built. Carry the word. I used to remember those days in secondary school, sir. What I would do is that whenever we finish, we close from school, we get back to the hostel around 1 o'clock. Everybody goes back into the hostel. People are normally supposed to sleep until about 4 o'clock. We go for prep. And instead of me sleeping, I'll take my Bible and I will go to the desert in my school, high school in Nazareth. So I'll go to the desert. There's a tree. I will go under the tree. No mat, nothing. I will just spread my Bible there, spread the notes, because I always expect God to speak to me. I keep my notebook there and I will kneel down in the sand, speak to God. And when it's time for me to start binding, I start walking around in the desert. So by the time I'm coming back, I'm dusty. I spend 2-3 hours in the desert. Then I go back, take my bath, and I go straight for the prep. On your own alone, sometimes in the night you wake up and you go into the hostel. I have a friend then. He is with Chevron today. Wrote to me all about the grace of God. It's only a senior guy. He's in Chevron now. Wrote to me and I will do night vigils together. I mean, where did he have, where did he have an air-conditioned church like this? Where do you have air-conditioned? Where you, this is almost like a place to sleep. This is a smart place to sleep. Jesus went to a garden to pray, to determine the will of God. I see a lot of people, I go, Lord, I had this problem. And I say, how many times have you, the proof of desire is pursuit. How many nights have you spent alone? Over that matter, have you done 7 days night vigil, praying alone? Have you spent 7 days fasting, seeking the face of God on that matter, and the thing has not moved? You see, it has not become an issue. If it becomes an issue, it will lead you to the presence of God. Go to the bush, man of God. Spend nights praying. Just to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We spend days to be praying. Not because it was difficult, but because we found it difficult to align ourselves with the Spirit of God. We prayed all night until about 4 a.m. in the morning. I was about giving up. And then boom, the Holy Ghost came on my friend, David Maidawa. And while he was praying, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and I saw the hand of God upon, I saw like a band of fire around him. And I was like, God, and David happened to be my convert. So I was like, God, see, my convert is you, the Holy Spirit. Me, I'm not. Divided in the Lord. So I went back to the end of the wall in our school fellowship, and I stood by because I was tired. How does sometimes God will want to wear out your physical strength? God will want to wear you out of all, I can do it this way, I know how to do it this way. God will wear you out. God will make sure that your seed has died, so that the one that he will give you, you will not be able to say it was by my power. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? He will wait for everything to die. Lazarus died. Die is not an issue. You have to be die and dead and dead and deader 4 days before I show up. So that if, because the Jews have a tradition that if somebody dies after 3 days, he can come back again. So Jesus had to wait for it to be 4 days so that they will not say it's after the tradition of the Jews. Am I talking to anybody in the house of God? Open the pages of the scripture. As you do that, the word of life will be open to you. You cannot go through the word and the word will not come through with your problems. Hallelujah. So one of the ways by which the Holy Spirit leads us is via the word of God. Another way is through the still small voice. Yes. Holy Spirit, help us. I'm rounding up now. You know, a lot of us, don't go, we will silence the voice. How will he feel now? He said, today is the only time I'm just going to know his house. I'm just going to know his house, you know. At least it will not be nice now if I don't go and know his house. We know Holy Spirit. She just come and know her house. And you know sometimes how that we know we are deceiving ourselves. We know. Still small voice. I know one thing about us. The Bible said the Spirit of God will not strive continually with man. The still small voice, minister, don't get out. do this, do that. You keep on ignoring the voice of the Spirit. You quench the voice of the Spirit. He leaves you on your own. And many of us are on our own now. When last did you hear his voice? When last did he talk to you again like that? He has left you. Sleep on. You are enjoying your life now with tears. He has left you. But he can come back today. I say he will come back today. Man of God, I went to the exam hall when I was going to do my WAEC. I remember in Command Day Secondary School, Ikeja. I sat down like this. I entered the exam hall, English paper. I entered for English paper 45 minutes after papers have started. Because there was a discrepancy over the issue of our names. They didn't put our name on the list of those who are paid. And it was wrongly done. So they delayed us outside, counted among those who did not pay. In the end of the day, they said we must enter, and they cannot do anything about it because WAEC examiners were there. And it was a school issue. So there's no way they can extend our time. I entered the exam for the first time. I carried biro, my palms were sweating. I know you have not experienced that kind of a thing before. I carried the biro, my palms were sweating. I didn't know what to write. I dropped the biro, and the Lord said, pray. The Lord said to me, pray. I bowed my head in the exam hall. I said, Father, you cannot put me to shame in this exam hall. Don't forget, a lot of people know me as pastor. In secondary school, I started preaching. They know me as pastor. Pastor must not fail, though. And Lord, I will not cheat. Even when I was not born again, I never cheated. So I won't cheat now that I'm a Christian. If I fail on your neck, I'm not defending you. And as I bowed my head, the Lord said, as you raise your head, don't start from the beginning. Don't start from the objective. Start from the essay. I just went straight to the back. All I knew before the eternal God, before whom we cannot take credit for what we did not do, all I knew was I carried that biro. The last thing I knew was that I dropped it. And by the time the result was out, among the 10 of us who had distinction that year in English, I was one. What did I know? By the time I finished, they were saying 15 minutes more. And I said, priest, what 15 minutes? Let me revise. And the Lord said, don't touch anything because your mind will be involved. I left it. When you are in a problem and you cry to God, he will give you a strategy. There's a strategy from heaven. And the strategy from heaven is above all. If you operate with the heavenly strategy, you will always rise above every other thing. That still small voice. Do it this way. Do it that way. Do it the other way. Listen to that voice. Inner peace is another way the Holy Spirit releases you. You want to step out and you lose your peace. Hold on until the weather is clear. We were to fly to Lagos. My wife, Deacon Ben, and all of us were going to minister at Ogun State just a few weeks back. Our flight departure was supposed to be 7:30 in the morning. And then they said to us, for some weather reason, you can fly. So we're at the airport for about 3 hours before we flew. Because the weather was bad. So what they were saying, we've received signals that it is dangerous to fly like this. The weather is not clear. Don't fly. And if you fly, you fly on your own. At your own risk. We wish you well. At a point, there was this particular airline. While they were saying weather was not clear, their own airline announced boarding. Oh, man of God, we're there together now. Come on. They announced their own boarding. Oh, okay, we're there. What happened to them, sir? We saw them coming back. What happened to them? They said the weather is not clear. I said, thank God for wisdom. And so we all had to wait. And then when the weather was clear, we flew. Now there are so many of us who have been playing crashes with our destinies. Our life has been so many crashes. Crash here, crash there. Crash yesterday. The remaining part of the plane that is remaining again, you crash it on another. The remaining part of your life again, you crash it on another one. The small one remaining now. Please, before you crash it again. Please. You don't have more life to crash. You've crashed too much in your life. The way you are going, if you crash the remaining one, you may not recover again. You will not be able to fly. It's one thing to crash and your window crack. You will crash again and an iron bend. But when you crash and there's a hole in your plane, it's too bad. too bad. And there's somebody here, you are about to fly again. Even when the Holy Ghost say, "Where that not clear, not clear. Don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go." Touch your neighbor, say, "Don't go, don't go, don't go." Touch your serious, say, "Don't go." We are stand up, everybody stand up, don't go. Stand up, everybody don't go. Touch with somebody else, we are, don't go, don't go. Warn them, let them see you in their dream. Touch them, see, point to them. Listen to the Holy Ghost. Point at them, listen to the Holy Ghost. Listen to the inner voice. Okay, now, on a positive note, having said that, you know another thing I see? There was a time again, I was looking at the weather with my bare eyes, and I said, this weather is not clear for anybody to fly. And then the next thing I heard was, all passenger, blah, 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 proceed for boarding. Ah! I said, well, what I'm seeing? And we proceeded. We flew. Easy. So, and by the time we flew, by the time we were taking off, I discovered that the weather was not only clear at the lower level. By the time we broke through the cloud, the weather was clear. And that it was only on this side that the weather was not clear. On the other side, the weather was extremely clear. You see, they have a navigation device. They have a system that they can use to check when it is clear to fly and when it's not clear to fly. So you know what? They don't listen to people's opinion to fly. They consult their device. Sometimes people will say it's not good to fly, but the Holy Ghost will say, go. Go into that business. Go into it. And sometimes people say, hey, it's good. And the Holy Ghost will say, no, 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 no. I can see on the other side. In Abuja, the weather was clear. But they said the problem was in Lagos. So where you are heading to, the end of it is destruction. So don't fly. Are you getting anything out of this? Lift your hands up and say, Spirit of God, I will obey you. I will obey you. Oh, this week, speak to me. I will follow your leading. you don't have much life to crash anymore. Just Holy Spirit of God, I want to listen to you. Help me, Lord. If you are not born again, it's very dangerous for you to continue your life like that. If you're backsliding, it's time to come back home. The Holy Spirit can lead you if you are not a child of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So you have to give your life to Christ if you expect the Holy Spirit to lead you this morning. Open your mouth, everybody. I say, this week, Lord, concerning my business, my marriage, my finances, my academics, the Holy Spirit, concerning the problem I have right now, and I need a strategy from you. Lead me, guide me, speak to me. I need to hear from you. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He is very willing to speak to you. He is more willing to speak to you than you are even willing to listen. Say, Lord, my ears are open. My spirit is open. My spirit is open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everyone who desires to be led by the Spirit of God this week, raise your right hand up. I want to pray with you. Thank you, my Father. I thank you for this once. Thank you for the desire to be led by you. I thank you because you are also willing to lead them. Lord, let there be a connection this week in the mighty name of Jesus. Thou'll be more conscious of your leadership in our lives this week than ever before. Thou'll be more willing to listen to you this week than ever before. Thou'll be more willing to listen to the prompting of the Spirit in our inner man than ever before. Thou'll be willing to follow the inner peace like never before. That this week we'll open the pages of scriptures and have you speak to us from it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you because we know it is done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, all eyes closed, all heads bowed, everybody here, all eyes.